Good evening, everyone. As you know, I'm Kim McLean. I have finally decided to come into fellowship, into membership at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church. So I've been asked to share my testimony with you. I was blessed to have grown up in a Christian home where both parents believed in and taught us about God. I was in church with mom and dad pretty much since the day I was born. And although I can't remember the exact date or time, I believe I was about 6 or 7 years old when I gave my life to Jesus. It was one night following a church service. I was afraid of dying and going to that scary place called hell that they talked about in children's church. So as I went to sleep and got into bed, I said this as my prayer that night. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and save me from my sins so that I can be in heaven with you when I die. Amen. I remember feeling so happy and peaceful as I went to bed that night. I knew that I would be safe with Jesus even if I died that same night. A few years later, I really wanted to be baptized. So I was attending Faithway Baptist Church in Ajax at the time, and I spoke to my parents and told them that I really wanted to be baptized, and they were obviously very happy that I wanted to follow the Lord in this way. So we had a meeting with the pastor, and he made sure that I knew the reason for being baptized was to publicly profess my faith in Jesus as Savior, and that it was also to represent that I was dying to my old way of life and being raised to new life with Christ. So once the pastor made sure that I had made my decision to follow Christ, he told us the date for the next baptismal service. I was very nervous, but also very excited. So after the baptism, I had that incredible feeling of joy and peace once again. I have never really enjoyed getting in trouble. So when I was young, I tried to stay out of mischief. Although, of course, there was times where disobeying the rules seemed like a good idea until it was time to get that spanking. So I did my best to avoid getting spankings at all costs. So as you might guess, I didn't really get into much trouble in my teen years, but I know it was not my own self-discipline, but it was God that kept me on the right path. It was difficult going through high school. Not really having many friends or being in the popular group, but I praise God for giving me the strength to endure those times. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, "For grace you have been saved through faith, not by yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." I cannot say that I have always been close to God or always walked in his footsteps. For a number of years, I kind of just went to church and listened to the preaching and sang the songs. But I was not really reading on my own or studying. But I still believed in God, and I knew that Jesus was and is the only way of salvation, but I was not engaged in a deep relationship with him. It has only been in the past probably 2 to 3 years that I've really made a more serious commitment to studying and reading. This came as a result of an extremely difficult time in my life. Some of you already know this, but I know a good number of you here will have no idea what has happened. I began attending Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church in January of 2007, and it took some time, but eventually I made some new friends, started hanging out with the youth, through that, I met a young man who eventually became my husband. There were struggles when we were dating regarding pornography and lying. But we continued dating and worked through those issues with Pastor Jacques. So eventually I felt like things were going well enough and we got married. But I soon learned those issues were not over. I found images of other women on my computer about 3 months into the marriage. I was brokenhearted, angry, and feeling enormous loss of self-worth. How could I be good enough for him if he was looking at all these other women? I struggled through wanting to know that I was the only one he wanted. But the pattern continued. Porn, lying, hurt, and betrayal. We continued to talk to Pastor Jacques for a while. But eventually I felt so defeated that I didn't want to burden Pastor Jacques anymore. Don't misunderstand me here. I'm not claiming that I was innocent of any wrongdoing. I did many things I regret and said a lot of things I wish I could take back through our dating and marriage as well. But we continued to struggle and argue, and it seemed to just get worse and worse. I felt like I meant nothing at all to him anymore. And I felt such a distance between us, and I knew there was something else going on, but I had no proof other than my feelings at the time. One night after we'd been arguing, I was at such a desperate point. All I was thinking about was ways that I could end my life. I was lying in bed beside him, and I was sobbing almost uncontrollably because of the horrifying thoughts going through my head. He asked me what was wrong, and I told him all I could think about was these awful ways that I thought about killing myself. The response I got hurt me so deeply. All he said was, "Well, stop thinking about it." And the next day we were arguing again, and that was it for me. I was at the end of my rope, and I felt like I had nowhere to go. So I decided that night I was going to end my life. It was about mid-November, so it was pretty cold outside. So I went out to my garage wearing only a t-shirt and pajama pants, and I laid down on the cold floor. I was going to die of hypothermia. So I lay there just thinking, I can't wait to die. Please just let me go. Let me go soon. I started to shiver and then to shake more violently, but I didn't care. I don't know how long I was there for, but it was quite a while. And at one point I started to fall asleep a bit, and it was just black and lonely. I was a bit scared, but I still didn't care. I was ready to go. I just wanted it to be over. Eventually, I heard the garage door open, and I had a bit of hope. But at the same time, I wanted to be left alone. I had no will to live anymore. But by God's grace, he saved me through the one that was making me feel so desperate. My husband picked me up and carried me into the house. I praise God now that he used him to spare my life, because I know if he hadn't sent him in, I would have stayed there until I'd succumbed to hypothermia. I just want to pause here for a moment again and play a little clip of a song It's called Praise You in This Storm. That was a song that I heard for the first time when I was going through all this. And I was driving to work and I heard it and I just cried the whole time it played. As I reflected on the whole situation. And after everything was said and done, I could see so many places where God had intervened and spared me from more pain. God had allowed me to find a place where my husband had moved to rent for a while. And from that, he showed me the evidence of adultery through some friends that found the pictures online. I saw God's hand was holding me through it all, even in the moments where I felt like I was the only person in a huge black hole. God was holding my life in his hands. And that is when I really made the commitment to read every night before I went to bed. I've still failed at this. I haven't read every night, but by God's grace, I am alive and striving to follow him more every day. It was a long and difficult road, but God gave me friends here at Newcastle and family that helped me get through it all. He's made me a stronger, more faithful person. Thank you for all your prayers and love. And again, I just have another brief clip of a song. It's called In the Valley. Song is another one that just touched my heart when I heard it. in the valley is where he makes us more like Christ. God's love is so amazing. If we continue to trust, we can see his hand even in the deepest valleys that we go through. Psalm 63, verse 3-8 says, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I will meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." It was only God's grace that brought me through this. Still believing in him and trusting in him. On my own, I would have given up and walked away. Or worse, I would have died that night in my garage. So in closing, it's my desire to be a member of this church, because it is a church that preaches the gospel without fear. The leadership stands firm on the truth of scriptures and preaches the word confidently and faithfully without being afraid of who may or may not be offended. I also feel it's a good place for me to continue to learn and grow and to hopefully raise my own family someday if the Lord grants me these blessings. Thank you again for your love and support, and I look forward to continuing to fellowship with you all.
Amen. Praise God. Isn't that amazing what the Lord does in someone's life, guys? God's grace in the depths of the valley. We're going to have John Rickey come and share his testimony. Followed after John Rickey, we're going to have Will and Ruth Metcalf. So John, wherever you are, come up and share your testimony. And then Will and Ruth, you guys can come up right after that.
Well, I regard this as quite a privilege to tell my testimony. It's wonderful. I was a public school teacher, and you always had to be careful of what you said about God. So it's great just to talk about my love, to live for him and to praise his name. First of all, I'd like to just thank the warm welcome ever since coming to this church a couple of months ago. It's been just wonderful, the warm welcome I've had and just a fellowship with God's people. I've made so many friends and had times of prayer for each other. Just wonderful. I was just thinking today how, you know, just I often think in images, and I think, you know, 1 John talks about, you know, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that a wonderful picture? You know, we're sitting under the light here, and we all love the Lord, and we're having fellowship with one another and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. It's just a picture. It's getting dark, and here we are in the light, walking in the light as he is in the light, having fellowship with one another, cleansed by the blood, loving each other. I just thought, as it's getting dark, you know, what a great picture of this church, you know. And but anyway, thank you. My testimony, I don't have a flashy, interesting testimony, but you know, I was born again at the age of 6 years old, and I think that word "born again" it's a great word, but it's become so commonplace now. I almost like to use the word "I was born twice," because it takes on a new meaning. But it's used in John 3, and we're born again, a new creature in Christ, born in the Spirit. Well, that's what happened to me, and I guess I'm sort of a simple person. You know, I have a very simple mind, and I just, you know, I always just trusted the Lord like a child. Ever since that age, you know, it's just faith in Christ, period. You know, just the faith in his resurrection, faith in, you know, the power of his resurrection, faith that he's my Savior, took the punishment for my sin. And I don't want to sound commonplace, like I'm just pulling that out like out of my wallet and saying, you know, four spiritual laws, you know, Jesus died for the cross of my sins. That's not what I'm trying to say, because I hate that. But it's the idea of being a whole new creature in Christ. And, you know, I taught children for many years, I loved it because they just trusted me, absolutely trusted me. I taught six-year-olds, and you know, if you say to a child something like, "You might, well, can I drive a car?" and you you'd say, no. And they would just say, why? You'd say, because. And they'd walk away, that's it. They trusted me. And that's the way my faith in Christ is. You know, it's just absolute trust. And I've just always had that all my life. I just trust him. You know, not that I didn't go through times of looking for evidence, you know, and things in my teenage years. But I've just had that simple faith in Christ. You know, I love what Christ even said, you know, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you shall not enter in. And I think that's the way it has to be for me, is just that simple, faithful trust in Christ. And that's the way I've lived my life. And it's been a big part of just trusting him. But I like to talk about how I've grown in the Lord, because I've always been in ministry, it seems, all my life. You know, some of the things I went through, I remember when I was young, a big thing to me was avoiding hell. The Bible talks a lot about that. It's going to be a horrible place. And I think as a child, that's what was one of the things that prompted me to accept Christ as my Savior, because I didn't want to go to hell. But it's interesting how I've grown in the Lord. You know, that's where I started. And then it went to, I want to go to heaven because it's going to be a nice place. As you get older, you realize you're going to die. I don't want to die. I want to have a new body. And I came to that point in my life of saying, you know, it's going to be really great to be in heaven, a new body. You know, as we talked about this morning with Dave Perry, you know, our citizenship is not in heaven. You know, as we await a Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who will change these lowly bodies of ours to be like his glorious body. By the same power, he subjected everything unto himself. I went through that stage of just wanting to go to heaven. Because you get older, you realize you're going to die. And where I'm at now is, that's not it at all. That's part of it. But I just want to go to heaven to praise our Lord and Savior and to glorify and love him. And it's just interesting to see the progression from wanting to avoid hell, wanting to go to heaven to be a great place, and then wanting to be there just to praise his glory and love him. And that's what I live for. He's my treasure. You know, he's what I live for. And that's part of my progression. I think one thing that's meant a lot to me recently is, I love the story recently about Simon and the Pharisees. I don't know if you remember that story in the Bible, but Christ was invited for dinner with one of the Pharisees named Simon. It's just a great story, but I missed what it meant, and I guess I'm inferring meaning. You may not agree with me, but it meant a lot to me, this story, because he invites this guy who's a religious leader to his house. And while he's there, this woman hears about it, and she's a really sinful woman, probably a prostitute, and just really sinful, and she comes to, and she hears about him, she just cries at his feet. And with her tears, she washes his feet and dries it with her hair and pours perfume on him, anoints him, just absolutely loves him. And then this guy named Simon turns around and he says to him, you know, if you were really a prophet, you'd have nothing to do with this woman. She's so sinful. And, you know, like, and Jesus turns to him and he says this amazing thing. And I never got the meaning of this for a long time. He says, you know what? He tells him a story. There was a landowner. One owned him 500 denarii. The other owned him 50 denarii. And the landowner canceled the debt of both of them. Which one do you think loved him more? And Simon the Pharisee turns around and he says, well, the one that owed him 500 denarii. Jesus says, you've answered correctly. But this is the part that I missed a lot. He turns to Simon. He said, look, I've been here, and you really haven't loved me very much. You know, she's done all this thing, washing me with the tears from her eyes. And he says, this is the thing. She has sinned greatly, but she loves me greatly. And I think that's the thing that I never realized. I thought he was saying to Simon that, you know, the reason that you don't love me is because you haven't sinned very much. That's not it at all. I don't think that was it at all. The point is this, is you're just as bad as her. And that's why you don't get it. You don't get it. And I think that's just what I'm trying to say in my life is I get it. I am just as bad as her. I am a sinner in God's sight. And God be merciful to me, a sinner. I think that's what he was trying to tell Simon. And I never got that for ages. I was trying to say, and that's my reason why I love him so much. That's why she loved him so much, because she had sinned greatly. And I think sometimes we, at least in my life, you can have a high position looking down on people. I've never done these horrible things and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And I've sinned greatly. And that's why I love God so much, just like she did. So those are some things that have changed in my life. And I think another thing that, as I've grown up, and I hope none of you get caught up in this, but, you know, one thing that I've had idols in my life. You know, it's like a carrot out here all the time. You know, you see this where I've always thought if I could just do this. I'm a person who's not, I'm not really great at anything. But I always have these things that if I just did this, you know, in music, if I just wrote a hit song, I would be there and I'd be content. Or if I wrote a famous book, oh, that'd be great. In sports, if I just got to here and won this championship, that would be great. Well, I never made any of them. But what I realized in life, you know, I think a great one, you know, you're always, maybe young people are thinking, if I just married that girl, everything would be great. And if I had a great family, and I would be there. And you know what? I realized that it's all a mirage. Nothing in this life will satisfy you. You think if you have a happy family, you got the greatest wife, got wonderful kids, it's going to satisfy. It won't. It's a mirage that the media paints for us, that if you just do this, and all of us have things that we love to do. I'm a person that has a lot of interest, and if I just did this, everything would be great. And I'm always chasing this carrot in front of me, even though I love God. But I realize that the only thing that will satisfy me in life is Jesus Christ. He's the only thing that will complete us. You hear spouses say, you know, my spouse completes you. It's a lie. It isn't the truth. God is the only thing that will ever complete you and make you satisfied. And that's something I had to learn in life. And sometimes you still get tempted thinking, if I just do this, you get caught up. And I realized in life that Jesus Christ is the only thing that will ever satisfy us and complete our lives. And sometimes we think about finances or health or whatever, and if I just had this, everything would be fine. It's not true. So I found that Jesus Christ is the only thing that will satisfy. And those are some of the things that I found. If any man loved the world, Christ said, there's no love of the Father in him. I mean, that's pretty strong words. You know, for all's in the world, you know, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of flesh. You know what? It's all temporary. It doesn't last. It's the will of God that lasts. You know, we don't look at what we can see. Everything we see is temporary. It doesn't last. You know, it's the things that are unseen that are eternal. And that's what God's trying. So those are some of the things that I've journeyed on just recently. It's interesting. I just got back. I was hiking up in the Rocky Mountains. So I got a bit of jet lag still, but I was up by Jasper and going through British Columbia. But I found a lovely peak that reflects my life now, I think, because I live in the country, sort of beautiful country, and I found this high mountain going up this side, you know, on this side, four walls of mountains and a gorge going below, and I was just on this peak, and I just got my hands and I put out and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You alone, Lord, are worthy of glory and honor and power and praise. It was such a great time in my life. And I often do this because I love, you know, go for walks in the country, but this was just so majestic, these giant mountains going up in four peaks. And I was absolutely alone. There was nobody there, and the waterfalls were going underneath me, and it was just like, oh, Lord, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. And I love to do that still, even where I live. It's not quite as gorgeous as the Rocky Mountains, but it was just a great time. I was baptized at the age of 14. I would like to encourage everybody, as we read in Acts 2 today, that when you accept the Lord, get baptized right away, because I didn't. You know, I let it go on at 6 years old. I guess my parents would encourage me to wait till I had a better understanding. But, you know, you get involved in ministry, and I never got baptized until I was 14. It was really hard. It was almost embarrassing. Not embarrassing because I loved the Lord, but everybody thought I had been baptized because I was so involved in ministry. And I'd like to... it's a reflection of you know, what's happened inside. It's an external showing that I have accepted the Lord, and I think for that reason it's a mistake to wait. I think, and I went through that of loving the Lord and showing people love the Lord, and then telling people you weren't baptized. It sort of doesn't make sense. So I was glad I did it when I did it, but I was baptized at the age of 14, and it's an outward expression showing what had happened in my life. I chose this church. I think one of the key things I love is just the passion for Christ and for each other, the fellowship. And as I mentioned at the beginning, you know, just, I think this is a picture of why I love this church. Here's the light. You know, we're walking, all of us, in the light, aren't we? You know, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Fellowship with each other. Those things go together. Isn't that a great picture just as we sit here? We all love the Lord. We're all walking in the light. You know, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And that's why I love this. And I'm retired. So I really am looking for a church where I can serve the Lord. I pray about that a lot in ministry. Lord, how can I serve you? Provide a way. And there's so many chances for ministry here, I've found. And that's something I've been praying about. So that's the other reason I love this church, because I'm just hoping to serve. I've got the time. I realize a lot of people don't have the time. Well, I got lots of time. You know, so I'd love to get really involved and serve the Lord. So that's another reason that and just the love and the passion you have for the Lord, it's really evident. And for each other, you know, it's really great. So I hope that this in some ways has brought honor to God, my testimony, and maybe touched some, encouraged you in the Lord. So thank you for listening to my testimony.
I want to thank the Lord for being raised in a Christian family. It gave me the opportunity to hear the gospel many times. I accepted Christ at 6 years old, but truly didn't understand it until I was 10. One night I was lying in my bed, and I did not want to go to sleep that night until I knew for sure that I was saved. I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin and wanted to follow him. Growing up, I made some mistakes that I wasn't proud of, but I always knew where to go for forgiveness. I thought I had everything planned. At the age of 5, I determined that I wanted to become a pilot. I achieved that goal, completing my commercial pilot's license with an instructor rating. But the Lord had other plans for my life. The Lord reminded me of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He directed me to a Christian resort called Elam Lodge, where I met my lovely wife, Ruth, and 10 years later to the Durham Regional Police as a court officer in the city of Oshawa, which, by the way, is the last city I said growing up that I would go. We found this church shortly after moving to Bowmanville and immediately knew that this was a place for us. We've been attending for 15 years now, and I've enjoyed serving the Lord here. So I believe it has been long enough for you guys to get to know us. I was baptized here in 2004 after being convicted by the Lord to do so. I've been convicted many times in my walk with him. Raising our children has reminded me that we have to be encouraging and help our youth in their walk with Christ, as well as reaching the unsaved. I was convicted a few years ago. When I learned the statistics on youth walking away from the church after leaving home, I'm now being faced with that conviction to do more in the church. So my membership is the next step of faith, and I'm excited what God has done and will do for the future. And by the way, I've stopped saying I will never do that or go there.
My testimony is not so eventful, but I feel very blessed and thankful to have grown up in a strong Christian family. Both my mom and dad have been very strong influences and have greatly encouraged me in my Christian walk. From the time I can remember, my brothers and sisters and I attended a small Associated Gospel church in Cohill with my parents. I heard the gospel message many times as a child, but this one Sunday night in particular, I remember after hearing our pastor speak again about salvation, that I realized I needed to repent of my sins and to make a decision to follow Christ on my own, and that my parents couldn't make that decision for me. I couldn't go to sleep that night, so when I went into my parents' bedroom to talk with them, we read the Bible together and talked, and they knelt with me beside the bed, and I asked Jesus into my heart that night. That was September 5th, 1982, and I was 7 years old. I remember a feeling of complete joy and relief that one day I'd be in heaven with Jesus and with my parents. When I was about 8, our family began attending a church near Bancroft called Labab Bible Chapel, and we eventually moved there. And on August the 24th, 1986, when I was 11 years old, I had the privilege of being baptized by my dad, who was an elder of the church at the time. God has been so good in protecting me and providing me with strong Christian friends, Sunday school teachers, and youth leaders, especially during my teenage years. I was very active in our youth group, as well as the inter-school Christian fellowship group we had in our high school. If God had not given me such a strong support base, though, growing up, I could be in a totally different place right now, and I thank him for his protection. I just want to say, from what I can see, God has blessed our church with a great youth group as well. And to all the youth that are here tonight, don't take the opportunities you have to attend youth group and STARS, even college and careers, for granted. Love each other, respect each other, help and encourage each other to grow, and mostly hold each other accountable as Christians so you aren't tempted to get caught up in the things of this world, but you'll keep your focus on Christ. After high school, I spent 2 years at Briarcrest Bible College in Saskatchewan, where God challenged me every day as I studied his word. What I thought I knew already became clearer to me, and I realized I really didn't know as much as I thought I did. Those 2 years were some of the best years of my life, growing closer to God and really studying his word every day with other believers having the same focus. That's actually where I first met Pastor Noel, who was the student rep for our freshman class there. I'm sure he also has some good stories to tell about Briarcrest. After my first year at Briarcrest, I went to work for the summer at Elam Lodge Christian Resort and Conference Center, and that's where I met Will in his dirty maintenance coveralls. Not exactly love at first sight. But we did start dating that summer, and in the fall I went back to Briarcrest to complete my diploma and then back to Elam to work. Will and I got married the next summer, and we continued to stay there as permanent staff for another 4 years. When we moved to Bowmanville in 2000, we were searching for a church to attend when we ran into Lyle and Yvonne Bender, who we knew from Elam, in the grocery store one day. They told us about Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church and invited us to come out. We started attending that year, and even though the church was meeting in Newcastle Public School at the time, going through some changes and really starting to grow, the people seemed sincere and welcoming and on fire for the Lord, and we knew this is where God wanted us to be. We've been through a lot of ups and downs with the church, as we've been a part of this church body for, like Will said, 15 years now. I know, hard to believe I'm actually standing up here now. But I think Will and I might have set the record for longest attending adherents at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church. Really, it's quite embarrassing, though, to say it's taken us this long to formally join the church membership. For me, I can say, growing up in a brethren assembly, the concept of official membership was not really practiced in our church. So when I started attending this Baptist church, I didn't fully understand the importance or necessity of becoming a member. But the longer I've been here, the more I've learned that becoming a member is so much more than adding my name to a list. It is a public commitment I am making to each of you to serve God together with love in unity and to fully support individually and corporately his work in our church and community. I've considered membership as something not to take lightly, and for years we've had extended family commitments and other things that have kept us away from here, from being able to attend regularly, and prevented us from feeling like we could commit ourselves fully to this church by becoming members. But God has shown me that even though there may never be a perfect time where I can devote 100% of my time to this church, he still wants me to obey him in taking this step in faith and believing that he can still work in me and through me as I serve him here to the best of my ability. In addition to that, the Holy Spirit has been working in my heart for quite a while now to show me that my commitment to this church is not enough. And as Pastor Jacques spoke on Nehemiah a while back, it really hit me. Does my life count for God? 4 of the points he gave were: commit yourself to godly character, commit yourself to worship, commit yourself to family, and commit yourself to God's people. I've been involved in our church for many years, so I consider this partly a formality, but also a long overdue commitment I am making to God and to each of you in this body of Christ of my desire to serve God here at NFBC, however he wishes to use me. One of my favorite verses I am encouraged by is Isaiah 41:30. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen. Praise God. We're going to have the Pantea family come, and then finally Sydney here, and right after the Panteas. Good evening, everyone. I'm going to be reading, otherwise I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to say. My name is Valentin Pantea. I would like to share my testimony with you this evening as my desire is to become a member in this church. I'll tell you a little bit about myself and then how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll be brief. I was born in Romania into a Christian family with two sisters and a brother. In the late 70s, we immigrated to Canada, and I was 9 years old at the time. My parents settled in Windsor, Ontario, for a short while, during which time our youngest sister was born. We then moved near Vancouver during the recession in the early 80s, during which time, after living in the greater Vancouver area for 5 years, my parents returned to Windsor and became members at the First Romanian Baptist Church, where I hear the Word of God preached each Sunday morning and evening. About the age of 17, through no miraculous experience, I came to understand and believe in the Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. I accepted Jesus as my Savior and was baptized by immersion in the Romanian Baptist Church in Windsor, Ontario. As an immature believer, I tried in my own strength to behave as a Christian should by abstaining from ungodly behaviors, which most of my school friends were involved in. At that time, I had not yet understood that the meaning of living life through the power of the Holy Spirit. During my university years, temptations became stronger and found myself caught in pride, anger, and lust. But God, in his mercy, worked through various events in my life to break me down and draw me closer to him. God used blessings as well as hardships to humble me so that I may come to a point in my life where I surrendered my whole life to him and make him Lord of my life. Through times of blessing, he has provided a wife, Esther, and 4 healthy children, Sophia, Juliana, Stefan, and Jordan. Through the birth of each child, I was reminded that God's care and loving actions towards me as a sinful man. God also worked through hardships. A heart arrhythmia, which brought me to my knees, crying out to God for his mercy and forgiveness for my sins and my sinful ways, and also through the loss of a job, which I believed to be secure until retirement. Through each trial and blessing, I learned to place my trust in Christ alone, to daily lean on the power of the Holy Spirit to change me from my sinful ways. These were decision points in my life, which drew me close in relationship with my Lord and Savior. Through my quiet times each day, I find answers to my questions while reading his word and asking God in prayer to reveal how each scripture passage applies to my life. My time in God's word and in prayer has changed from duty to delight. I find joy, peace, encouragement, and strength in my quiet times with God. My wife and I have also experienced spiritual growth in our family life during our devotional times with our children, where we read scripture, pray, and sing together throughout the week. Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church has been a great blessing to me and my family. Through its teaching and ministries, I have learned much and have been challenged much. Pastor Jacques has encouraged me to surrender 9 specific areas of my life to God each day: my mind, eyes, words, attitude, desires, motives, my will, and my body. In the past 6 months, the teaching in this church has challenged me personally to serve in the body of Christ by being involved in the many ministry opportunities. And so this year, both my wife and I have committed to support the youth ministry each week. The children and youth ministries in this church have been a great blessing to my children, and pray that the Lord will continue to work in their lives so that all four will accept Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray that God will continue to work in me and my family to grow in Christ-like character, increasing love for God and people and the fruit of the Spirit. In conclusion, I'd like to read the following passage. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And it says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Thank you for listening.
So my name is Esther. I was brought up in a Christian home. My twin sister and I were born in a small village on the island of Java in Indonesia, as my parents were serving as missionaries with the China Inland Mission. At the age of 5 and a half, we left home to attend boarding school in the jungles of Malaysia. I was too young to understand what it must have been like for my folks to see their three kids only twice a year. But as I grew and witnessed God's faithfulness and care over us, I knew my parents trusted Christ and were constantly in prayer. Although I don't remember the exact date, I vividly recall the night I trusted Christ as my Savior. It was nighttime and lights out in the dorm. 16 girls were asleep except me. I was completely overcome with loneliness and a sense of being utterly lost, not only physically separated from those I loved, but also without the hope of eternal security. The Holy Spirit was drawing me to God. I prayed and asked God to show himself to me, and immediately I knew the peace that passes all understanding. I remember realizing that I need to kneel before the cross, alone and not under the umbrella of my parents' faith, so to speak. I woke up the lady who was my doormat, and we prayed together. Growing up, there were so many difficult events that I witnessed overseas. One in particular had a huge impact on my faith when my best friend's dad, Coast Fiji, was martyred in Thailand, October 1981, for sharing the gospel. I became acutely aware that this earth was not my home. Matthew 10:28. Whom really should we fear? Those who kill the body? Fear only God, who can destroy both the body and the soul. It was shortly after this that I was baptized in Cambridge, Ontario, during one of our furloughs. In 1989, after finishing high school in the Philippines, I returned to Canada to begin studying nursing at university. While I was working in Detroit, I met Valentine. We were married in 1999 and moved to the Toronto area. The Lord blessed us with four wonderful children, and so here we are today. Val and I have been attending Newcastle Baptist for a number of years now. Membership is important to me because I want to stand with the local body of believers to proclaim that we serve Christ crucified and the one true God. Over the past 4 years, the Holy Spirit has challenged me about becoming radical for Christ. For myself, this involved putting my career on the back burner, homeschooling the children, and studying God's word to be able to give an answer for the hope that lives in all of us. I don't want a day to go by that I'm not completely overwhelmed by the power of the cross. One thing I am learning in my day-to-day walk is to have victory over sin through Christ's power. When I fall, I need to repent and start over. I am challenging myself to choose to begin each day by following Deuteronomy 30:11-14 and verses 19 to 20. This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you to understand, and it is not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, "Who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey?" It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, "Who will cross the sea to bring it to us so that we can hear it and obey?" No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and on your heart so that you can obey it. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses.
Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life.
After those speeches, I can say anything. I'm the mother-in-law and the mother of him. I have 5 children. I grew up in a Christian family. 11 kids, 8 brothers and 2 sisters. I'm the oldest of the girls, and I grew up as a boy, so we went to church every Sunday. My mom and dad were Christian, very good Christians. Actually, someone made a comment to me that my mom was a saint. She was. Our house got on fire one time, and my mom said, God gave, God take. And 4 kids, 5 kids were at that time without home or anything. But God worked. Listening to everybody, I just been thinking how God is carrying us over the years, every day. And we don't pay attention to this. But he does. He's very faithful. So I live half of my life in Romania. I like to speak Romanian to you, but it will be easy for me. And half of my life here in Canada. I have 3 of my kids living in the States and 2 in Canada, Daniela and Rob. I'm living with them. And I have 14 grandchildren, and number 15 is coming next year. We have 7 girls and 7 boys. I have 7. And it's going to be a girl, so it's going to break. Yeah. Going to church every Sunday morning and every Sunday afternoon. One day at the balcony of the church, I just gave my life to Jesus. And I said, I want to serve you for the rest of my life. Of course, we made mistakes. Everybody that hear the story, we just do. And I do it now, and I repent. I have to repent every day. I would like to make decision, and I make a decision very fast. Then I said, oh, God, I made a mistake, big one. Just forgive me. So I find forgiveness, and I find love. I worked always 2 jobs. I was employed for 1 job, and for the 2nd job, I didn't get paid. And one day I came from work late. I don't know what was the reason. My husband said, you are fired from your 2nd job because you're late. My 2nd job was at home working, cleaning, cooking. And I said, if I'm fired, you're not going to eat anything. That's it. So I remember about 16 years ago, could be, my husband was sick. His kidneys worked 5%. And I didn't know exactly at that time how bad it was. But we were driving to church every Sunday, in the morning and the afternoon. And the church was in Detroit, 45 minutes away. We were crossing the tunnel. And I remember one day, my 2nd youngest daughter, which lives in California now, said, Mom, don't go to church. I said, what are you talking about? Don't go with Daddy. I said, let him go. What do I do? Let him go alone. Because if he's going to have a kidney failure, you both die. And I said, we both die, I'm going. Never happened. God took care of everything. Never happened, nothing. Till he died at home. Then before he died, I remember many things in my life, but I'm going to tell you 2 of them. I was at work, and for some reason, before Christmas, people gave me presents. And all the presents that I got, I looked, 7 or 8 lottery tickets. I never buy lottery tickets, but they were the one you scratch, the one you... So I got someone, and I was going to everyone, and in my mind went, okay, I'm going to win so much money, I'm going to pay my debts, and I'm going to stay home. So going to that, I heard a voice in my ear that said, do you think that I cannot take care of you? I stopped. I took all of the things I put in the garbage. He did take care of me. He didn't give me too much, not too little. He gave me just enough. Thank you. I feel like we are a member of this church because we came here for a long time, but we are happy to be members now. We are members. So we grow in this church, we grew, we learn, and we enjoy. God tell us to love each other. This is the way he wants us to be. So I have a verse that Al is going to read.
What is that again? Verse 10. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, well, that's really loud. Is that loud up there too? Okay. My name's Sydney, and I've been attending Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church with my family for about 10 years. I was blessed to be born into a family with loving Christian parents who taught my brothers and I about Jesus and brought us to church since we were very young. When I was about 5 years old, a missionary came to speak at a kids' club that I was attending at the time. He spoke about Jesus and the gospel with such a great joy, and I knew I wanted what he had. That night when I got home, I prayed with my parents and asked the Lord to save me from my sins. Ever since then, I have been striving to become more and more like Christ. That certainly doesn't mean I'm perfect. There have been many times where I've struggled, but God has been there with me through it all. Throughout the last several years here at NFBC, many people in this church have impacted my life throughout various ministries. Our youth group has been such a blessing to me throughout my high school years. I really appreciated the faithful teaching from our leaders and the lasting friendships that were cultivated through these years. I've also loved being a part of various outreaches our church has done. One of my favorite memories from last summer was when our care group went down to the lake and we would just like sing worship songs and share the gospel with different people who were hanging out at the lake as well. So that was really incredible. Another outreach that I've been able to be a part of was the 2 missions trips to Nova Scotia. Both of these trips were incredible blessings to me in helping me grow in my walk with the Lord. I learned so much on these trips about evangelism and sharing the gospel with people who knew nothing about the Lord. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 18, verse 30, which says, "This is our God. His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him." I love this verse because no matter what we're going through, it's what God has planned for us. As some of you may know, in a few months, I'm hoping to move to Louisville, Kentucky to finish my degree at Southern Seminary's undergrad school. I have absolutely no idea what the next few months hold in my future, but I'm holding fast to this verse and that no matter what happens, it's all a part of God's plan. I want to become a member here at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church tonight because I truly love this body of believers. I really love being a part of the ministry here and I want to serve alongside you for however long God keeps me here. I want to be accountable to this church and to the leaders and the elders as I believe accountability is important in our Christian lives. I believe that being a member of a local church is something that we are commanded to as believers. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Though we all have different roles in serving God, we work together as members of one body. I'm excited to become a member of this body to serve alongside you, to go together and to seek to bring glory to God in this community."
I am always amazed at how God moves and touches people's hearts and brings people to himself. You've heard amazing testimonies tonight of God's grace and of God's power. I'm just going to ask all those that did share their testimonies tonight just to come to the front, please, guys, and just stand up here. Everyone who is coming into membership, if you could just come to the front, and if you could face the congregation. I'm going to ask everyone tonight who is a member at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, you're an actual member here, you've trusted Christ, you've come into membership, to stand, please, all those that are members of this church. Brothers and sisters of Christ, you've heard their testimonies. You have heard how God has brought them to Himself. You've heard the fact that they have trusted Christ. They have followed Him in the waters of baptism. As brothers and sisters in Christ, do you now extend the right hand of fellowship to these who want to serve Christ with? And if you do, raise your hands. Any opposed? Well, praise God. They are now members of our church. We praise God for that. We would ask you, we're gonna ask the worship team to come up. We would ask you to, at the end of the service, after we sing our last song here and we have our closing prayer, just to welcome them into our fellowship. Guys, we want to encourage you to follow through with Acts 2, where it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That's the challenge for you and for all of us. So God bless you and thank you so much. Let's sing together.